Tonight I want to preach a sermon I've entitled, Don't Waste a Day. Don't Waste a Day. You know, throughout the Bible there are different stories about people that wasted part of their life. In the book of Genesis, we read about Jacob. Now, again, I know that God always has a plan, but Jacob got his wives and his children and the 12 tribes of Israel, as we know them. But the years that he spent away from home were years that were wasted. I mean, he couldn't get along with his brother. Brother was going to kill him because he went in and stole the blessing from his dad, Isaac. Remember, disguised himself as Esau. The Bible says Esau was a hairy man, Jacob was a smooth man, and so with Rebekah, his mother, they disguised Jacob so that he put skins on his neck and on his hands, and so when Isaac felt him, he thought he was feeling Esau and gave the blessing that he wanted for Esau to Jacob, and Esau said, I'm going to kill him. And so his mother made up an excuse and went to Isaac and said, I don't want Jacob marrying any of the girls around here. I want him to go back and marry a girl from where we're from. And so he went back to where his mother was from and spent probably close to 20 years there. And again, got his wives and the children that, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel. But I wonder if God might not have had a better plan if Jacob was honest and didn't cheat Esau. We wouldn't read in the book of Ruth, story of Naomi and Elimelech. Famine came to land and they went to Moab for 10 years because they heard that there wasn't a famine in Moab. And you know the story. You've read the book of Ruth just like I have. Her husband died. Her two sons who had married girls there in Moab died. When Naomi got ready to go back home and went back home with just Ruth, one of her daughter-in-laws, she said, don't call me Naomi anymore because I went out full and I came back empty. I wasted those years of my life getting outside the will of God. Same thing can be said of Abraham when a famine came and he went down into Egypt. Didn't trust God that God could take care of him. You know, we just need to come to the conclusion, like Angie reminded us in that song, that we are in God's hands. We are his children, and he's going to take care of us. When we begin to take matters into our own hands and say, well, I'm headed into a tough situation. I don't know if I can trust God or not. I think I'll just make my own decisions and decide where to go and what to do. We usually get into trouble. And we usually, I mean, I know God's always got another will for where we are. He always has a will for where we are. But I wonder how many things we miss because we don't trust him and know that he can take care of us regardless of the circumstances that come into our life. And so, again, I won't mention any more for sake of time, but throughout the Bible, we find people that have wasted part of their life. The Bible says redeeming the time. I believe the Bible's not talking about years when it says that. I believe the Bible's talking about days. And I'm going to use the story of Jonah. I told it this morning quickly as part of my message. Just to remind you, Jonah was a prophet of God. God said, I want you to go preach at Nineveh, that great city of 600,000 or 700,000 people or more. And I want you to tell them about me. I want you to tell them to turn from their wickedness. Jonah did not want to go. He did not want God forgiving them. He wanted God to punish them. And so he got on a ship and headed in the other direction. As we talked about this morning, that storm came up. And Jonah finally admitted to the other people that were in the ship with him, I'm the cause of this storm. If you want to get out of the storm, you're going to have to throw me overboard. And they throw him overboard, and God had prepared a great fish to swallow him. He spent 3 days and three nights. And I just got to tell you, I believe it was 72 hours. I believe it was three whole days and three whole nights that Jonah spent in the belly of the fish. I don't think it was part of three nights, you know, a part of a night and a whole night and a part of another night, a part of a day and a whole day and part of a day. God knows how to tell time. And I believe when he says 3 days and three nights, he was talking about three whole days and three whole nights. Just like I believe that Jesus spent 3 nights and 3 days in the earth. I'm not going to argue about it with anybody, but that's just the way I believe. And I'll just tell you can't have Good Friday and think he was buried on Good Friday and resurrected on Sunday on Easter, because you don't get 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday. Different message, different topic. But I'll go back to Jonah. 3 days, three nights in the belly of that fish. Jonah repented. And as I mentioned this morning, he sort of lost hope. He didn't know if he was going to get out of there or not. And so he did what most people do when they lose hope. He went to God. And he asked God to forgive him. And the Bible says that God caused that fish to vomit Jonah out on the land. And then we read in chapter 3 what happened. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Man, I'm glad we got a God that is a God of the second chance. I'm glad we got a God that gives us a third chance and a fourth chance. I'm glad we got a God that his mercies are new every morning. I'm glad we got a God that doesn't give up on us when we fail, when we fall, when we want to quit, and when we do quit. I'm glad we got a God that comes back to us the second time and the third time and the fourth time. And he'll keep coming back to us till he knows that we're so stubborn, we're not going to do anything. Then he'll take us to heaven. He'll take us to heaven. Not part of my message. I'll throw it in for nothing tonight. Might as well just be obedient the first time. Might as well just do what God says the first time. So, in chapter 3, it says that the whole city turned from their wicked ways. I want you to just think with me for a minute what that means. The whole city, from the king down to the poorest of the poor. They put on sackcloth, which is a way of showing God they were serious about what they were doing. And they repented from the evil that they did. And they turned from the evil from what they did. And I believe it was the whole city, just like this book says. Every single person turned from their evil ways. It was a revival beyond all revivals. I mean, every bar was closed. Every house of ill repute was closed. Every movie theater that was showing X-rated movies was closed. All the bookstores that were selling books and magazines that they shouldn't sell took them out and burned them. The people that were abusing children stopped. The homosexuals turned from their wicked, abominable ways in God's sight. I mean, you just go down the list. You think about all the evil that exists in our day today. And by the way, there's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said. The things that are happening today are the same things that were happening in Nineveh. And Jonah came into that city and preached, and every single person turned to God, turned to from their wicked ways, and God repented himself of what he was going to do. He sent Jonah in there, and he said, "You tell him in 40 days I'm going to destroy the city." It wasn't a message of grace. It wasn't a message of hope. It was a message of doom. It would be like preaching to sinners that you're going to hell and never telling them about Jesus. It would be like preaching to people that are lost and never talking about God's mercy and never talking about God's grace. It would just be saying, hey, because you're a sinner and you've disobeyed God and the wages of sin is death and you're going to hell. That's the message that Noah delivered. 40 days and God's going to destroy this city. In 40 days, not one of you are going to be left alive. He's going to kill all of you because of your wickedness. And the king heard the message, and that's why he said what he did. He said, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? There was no promise from Jonah. There was no hope from Jonah. He just said, 40 days and God's going to destroy this city. But when God saw that they turned from their wicked ways, he repented and said, I'm not going to destroy it. I'm not going to destroy it. Jonah, sometimes we think about Jonah, it's a mixed bag. We think about Jonah, well, he should have done what God told him to do the first time. Should have just been obedient the first time. And we sort of hold that against him, and then we say, but man, what a mighty revival. What a message he must have delivered. What fervor he must have used in delivering that message for the whole city to be saved. Now, here's my point tonight. Whole city was saved. God repented from the destruction that he was going to bring on it. But I would point out to you tonight that that revival that Jonah led in Nineveh probably started about 5 days later than it was supposed to start. Say, how do you get that, preacher? Well, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah the first time, the Bible says he went down and got into a ship and headed for Tarshish. Probably took a day. I believe he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish. And then when the fish vomited it out on land, it probably took him a day to get to Nineveh. And when he got there, he didn't waste any time. He started preaching. But I just want you to stop and consider what might have happened in those 5 days that Jonah was out of the will of God, running from God, being punished by God, and getting back to where God wanted him to be. As I mentioned this morning, I was in town all this week, and when I got home Monday night late from making a couple visits, there was a newspaper in the house. Now, we don't take a newspaper because neither one of us have time to read it. It's usually discouraging to me, so I just don't read a newspaper. But there was a newspaper there, and I was kind of tired, so I just began flipping through the newspaper, and I came to the obituaries. I said, wow, you know, I've heard people say, I get up in the morning and I read the obituaries to see if I'm still alive or not. I said, well, I'm just going to look. And so I just began to read the little write-ups that were in the paper about those folks that had died over the weekend. There was an old man, an elderly lady, just a couple teenagers. There's a little baby. All ages. 22 people all together. 22 people. Little story about them or the notice of their death in the paper. 22 people. So let's say 22 people on an average die in the city the size of Flint every day. Let's say Nineveh, about the same size, probably a little bit bigger, so maybe my numbers are understated, but 22 people. 5 days, Jonah was outside the will of God, running from God, being punished by God, coming back to that place where he wanted him to be. 5 days. 5 times 22. That's 110 people that in Nineveh could have died before they heard this preacher come and preach about the righteousness of God and the punishment of God, and see the city turn from their wicked ways to God. 110 people that probably went to hell. 110 people that are today still tormented in the fire. 110 people that maybe like that rich man in Luke chapter 16, I think it is, begging somebody to just dip the tip of their finger in water and come and touch the tip of their tongue. 110 people falling into the bottomless pit. 110 people falling to that place of darkness. 110 people stung by the beast of hell. 110 people weeping and gnashing their teeth. 110 people remembering perhaps the warnings they got from others than Jonah about how they need to turn to God and repent from their wickedness. 110 people, again like that rich man in Luke chapter 16, that said, oh boy, I hope somebody goes and tells my brothers and my sisters and my mom and dad so that they don't have to come to this place. 110 people that are separated from God forever because they didn't get to hear the message of God. So here's my point. Simple point tonight. Simple message. Every day is important. Every day is important because every day there are people dying all around us that have never heard about Christ, that have never heard a clear presentation of his gospel, that have never had the chance to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every day is important. When Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest, he was talking about our day. He was talking about October of 2007. He was talking about right now. The fields are white unto harvest. Three things. Number one, every day we need to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, my body is yours, my mouth is yours, my tongue is yours. You lead me to where you want me to go today to speak to somebody about Jesus. Just use me. In the first chapter of John, they were coming to John the first chapter of John, they were coming to John the Baptist and saying, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the one we're looking for?" He said, "No, I'm not the Messiah. There's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to fasten his sandals." And they said, "Well, then who are you?" And John says, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord.'" That's what we need to be. We need to be the voice that God uses to tell people about Jesus. The other night, Thursday night, in fact, I was late for prayer meeting on Thursday night because after work I stopped by and saw Al. And I told him, and you know, when I first got there, it was just him and Lola. And then their family started to come in. Duke and Joni came in, I can't remember, there was another couple that came in that was either Lola, I think Lola's brother, and then Shirley came in. And I mean, I said, I didn't know you guys were having a family reunion or else I wouldn't have come. And so I visited with them on, and I had a word of prayer, and I got up to go. And Bill, I was going to be on time for prayer meeting. I really was, but Al followed me out. He said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." And he began to cry. He said, "Preacher, I just don't have the strength anymore to tell people about Jesus. I meet people every single day that I want to talk to, but I just can't get the words out. I'm so tired and so wore out all the time. I just can't." I said, "Al, here's what I'll do. Next time I come, I'll bring you a fistful of tracts. And if you can't take them down the Romans Road, you just give them one and you say, 'Hey, I'm a man dying of cancer. Would you read this for me?'" I told him, I said, "Most people won't be able to refuse you. You just give them a tract and say, 'A man dying from cancer. I haven't got many days left. Would you read this for me?'" He says, "I think I could do that." And so yesterday afternoon, Adam and I stopped back and I had a wad of tracts like that. And he was in the house sleeping. We didn't know anybody was home. We knocked on the door and he didn't come. And I just put those tracts inside the door. I asked him this morning, I said, "You get the tracts I left for you yesterday?" He said, "Yep." He said, "I'm going to need some more by next week." Now, it goes without saying, if he can do it, do the rest of us have any excuse? Say, "Well, I can't talk to people. I'm just not natured that way. I just can't do that. Well, you can give them a track. You can ask them to say, "Hey, would you read this for me?" You can invite them to come to church. every day, we need to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, I am yours. My voice is yours. My body is yours. I want you to use me today to tell somebody about Jesus. Number two, every day we need to pray for people that are lost. We have people in our families. We have people that live around us. We have people that are our friends. I dare say that every person here has somebody they know real well that needs Jesus. Pray for them every day. Call their name out to God. Lift them up to heaven. God, this person, call them by name. This person needs Jesus. I know there are people in this room that will tell me tonight, I've been praying for people for a long, long time. I pray for him every single day. I wish Helen was here tonight. I wish she could testify how long she prayed for this guy right here and this lady right here, Harold and Betty. Two people that we love to death. Two people that our church would not be the same if they weren't here. You know why they're here? Because there was a little lady that said, I am not going to give up. I imagine when Brother Vern was still alive that Helen and Vern tried to witness to Brother Harold. I can imagine there were some times where Brother Harold told him where to get off the bus. I don't know that. Just knowing him, I just imagine that. But you know what? And Brother Harold, you know I love you. But you know what? Helen said, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep praying. And those two people, and probably Peggy, wouldn't be here tonight. They wouldn't be such a vital part of our church unless somebody prayed. Now, I could give you example after example after example. Don't quit. Don't give up. You keep praying. You keep praying every day. And then number three, every day, make it a point to talk to somebody about Jesus. Just make it a point. Talk to somebody about Jesus. We talk about all other things. Who won the football game today? Lions? Anybody know? No, they didn't win. I guarantee you, there will be people talking tomorrow, wherever you go, work, barbershop, supermarket, there will be people talking about how the Lions lost again. There'll be people talking about the baseball games, the playoffs. Are they still car racing, Terry? There'll be people talking about the car races. There'll be people talking about a lot of different stuff. Well, why shouldn't the people of God talk about Jesus? Amen. Huh? Why shouldn't we just get Jesus into every conversation? They start talking about the Lions. We can say, well, let me talk to you about somebody that never loses. Amen. Let me talk to you about somebody who's always a winner. Let me talk to you about somebody who loves you. Let's talk about somebody who sent his only begotten son to die in our place. Let's talk about somebody who offers us a home in heaven. Let's talk about somebody who sends the Holy Spirit to help us live each day of our life. Let's talk about somebody who's given us a book that we can read and we can learn how he wants us to live. Let's talk about Jesus every day. The fields are white unto harvest. Every day is important. I guarantee you, if you ask the Holy Spirit tomorrow morning when you get up, I'm yours, I surrender myself to you today, you lead me to somebody that I can talk to about Jesus, I guarantee you, before the day is over tomorrow, God will bring you into contact with somebody that you can say a word about Jesus to. Give them a track. Invite them to church. That's the way he works. If we will yield ourselves, he'll bring us into contact with those people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this book.